Ephesians 5, 14 through 16, it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So the next week, we'll be ending this series. We're doing a three-part series on rise up. And that rise up is for us to awake of our surroundings, to know who we are in Christ Jesus, to not walk in ignorance. So if you were here last week, we talked about sin. And I would encourage you, if you missed it, catch up, because this three-part series is really important as it layers onto each other, because each verse in Ephesians chapter 4 from 14 to 16 is where we're going and what we are consuming. So in Ephesians 5:14, again, it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." In verse 15, which we'll be talking about today, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Verse 16, "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." So again, verse 15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." I would encourage all of you to take notes today, to open up your note app within your phones, begin to type, because I've got a lot of different lists to go through, some definitions, and I would encourage you to be a good Berean, which is a studier of God's word. And for you, I know that you are very wise and that you are very intelligent, but I too went to college and you only really retain about 15% of what you paid for. So for all of you in this room, I want you to be a good Berean. So study God's word, okay? So I believe that a wise man will dream as if he will live, and I believe that a fool will dream as if he will die. So let that sit with you for a second. A wise man will dream as if he will live, and a fool will dream as if he will die. So if you think about, as a Christian, we know that we have life. We know in John 10:10 that Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance, an overflow. And with that mindset, what that does is it puts us in a place of knowing that we don't just live on this earth and then die. We live beyond this. And what we are going to do is tremendous. Yeah, that's right. Because it doesn't just stop here, but it carries on into the next stage of our life with Christ Jesus. You know, we can store up treasures here, but what's the point? Moths and insects will eat those treasures, but we are storing up treasures in heaven. So a wise man who knows this is living a life dreaming of living on, whereas a fool only dreams as if he will die. So there's a foolishness of looking within. It's selfish, actually. It's very self-centered. And if you have encountered many people that live in the world, you will find this to be true. They do not walk in humility. They walk in selfishness. They walk in greed. And we should always be careful of those individuals. So what's important and what we understand, as we learned last week, is to separate ourselves from sin, because we are giving way to the Lord to show us wisdom. God wants to actually part in you wisdom if you separate yourself from this world. If you are like this world, God cannot give you this wisdom, because then it just falls on foolish hands. You'll just put it to your own greed, and God doesn't want that to happen. God wants you to be set free from this world so that you can do what he's called you to do, that design, that unique design in who you are. Now, Proverbs 4, verses 7 through 9, it says, "The beginning of wisdom," and I love this verse, it's kind of one of those really funny ones. In the Bible, it says, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom." It's kind of like, duh, right? Now, it says, "Though it will cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." So we're seeing right now, as Solomon is writing in Proverbs, how important it is that wisdom is obtained, that at all costs, it is the best thing you can have. Ecclesiastes 7:19, it says, "Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city." It's interesting. You know, in Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon says that wisdom is crying out from the rooftops and from every street corner. So it's interesting. It's hidden in plain sight. This is not something where you feel like you've got to have a metal detector or that you've got to go to certain high Ivy League schools, but that actually these things are in plain sight. And really, it's the people who can discern. Those ones that God has opened and revealed those things to. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew." So we know that we can grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So wisdom is the grace to prioritize and correctly apply knowledge for the greatest common good. It is the ability to know what to do, to know what principle to apply in a situation that will produce life and good fruit. Now, I want to make sure that we don't mistake wisdom for information. I believe that we are information rich and wisdom poor. I mean, I appreciate the iPhone. I appreciate the smartphone. I mean, I do. There is nothing greater than when I tell my children something and they go, "Nuh-uh," and I go, "Google it." And sure enough, they go, "Dad, you're so smart." I go, "I know." There is no better feeling to be immediately just put on a pedestal in front of my children. So I appreciate the information and that it being right there, but it's the sad part about it is that we are wisdom poor. We really don't know how to apply that information correctly. So I don't want us to mistake wisdom with information. Now, we need to know the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So knowledge is the accumulation of truth and facts. So it's the accumulation of truth and facts. Understanding is the proper arrangement of truths and facts. So it's understanding the arrangement of those things. And then wisdom is the proper application of truth and facts. So I know that was behind me, and I hope you write it down, but you can always go back and watch on YouTube or wherever we have our broadcast put out there. But I would encourage you to understand the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom, and how to discern from all three and actually be wisdom guided so that you can apply the truth and facts properly. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly." So that's true. Okay? We know that if it's in the Word of God, it's good. All right? Now, it's important that we have wise living. So God's ways are the path to wisdom. The Bible confirms this time and time again. Wise living includes the ability to discern right from wrong and good from best. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory." If you read through that really quickly, you would think, oh gosh, only those that actually are high scholars of the Word of God can actually discern what the Word of God means. Oh, I'm just a horrible Christian. I don't understand anything that the Bible says. Actually, if you slow down and you read this, there's revelation, and this is where we always should go to our Father in heaven first and pray before we read the Word of God. Lord, give me discernment of the Word of God. Lord, give me instruction and wisdom. God, I thank you, Lord, your Holy Spirit will guide me through the Scriptures before whatever I read. God, direct me, Lord, to the right resources, the right individuals that can also help me to rightly discern what the Word of God is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying that type of a prayer, it will open up your eyes to see, your ears to hear, your heart to be softened for those things that are in the Word. So when you read the Scripture again, 1 Corinthians 2, 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Okay? But we speak the Word of God, right? The wisdom of God in mystery. The hidden wisdom, though, which God ordained before the ages, is for our glory. Meaning who? The Christians. All right? The believers. That's who it's for. Paul's just explaining that the way it sounds as if it's a mystery, but it's for us. It's for us. So the wisdom is not hidden from us, but it's actually hidden for us. That's the difference. You should be so glad though it being hidden for us, is for us. It's for us to rightly discern. It's for us to go to the Father to have him reveal it to us. If it was just wisdom laying out in the open for anyone to take, it wouldn't be worth anything. But God's saying that if you are a believer, then you will understand this wisdom. And this wisdom far exceeds your wisdom, far exceeds any earthly wisdom. So we should be really excited about this, that God gives us wisdom as believers. But it's up to us to learn how to walk it out. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we see Solomon who asked God, and he said, hey, God said, actually God said, hey, what do you want? And Solomon sat there for a second. He says, you could have asked for anything, riches, power, you know, kingdoms. But he says, I want wisdom. Wisdom so that I can actually judge your people, that I can lead your people. Wow, because of that, God knew, hey, I know your heart. I want to bless you with this wisdom. So you can see that this far exceeds any riches and glory, any self-vain approach to any gain we can receive. So we need to be more aware of the power of wisdom in our lives and what it can actually do. Now, I know that riches and honor and long life and victory always, and victory over our enemies always seems to be more important. And these are aspects of God's will for us. But if you continue to read God's word, you'll see that the principles of wisdom will trump any one of these aspects of God's will. It's always wisdom. God wants us to have wisdom. Then those things will follow. And if you really understand the value of wisdom, you would stop. And every vain imagination that you have, any idea of this self-absorbed reality where it's like, if I can just get this, if I can just get that, if I can just get a new job, a bigger home, a larger car, if I can get, if you stop that behavior and you just say, all I want is wisdom. Consumerism. I mean, we are on the cusp of consumerism. It's October, 29th? I mean, you ask a couple of my children how many days till Christmas, they can tell you like that, right? We are only so many days away. I actually already have a cutout magazine, posted, glued, stuck poster from one of my children. All the items that they are believing for. It's listed. Let's just burn that up, right? This year, everyone, we're getting wisdom. But wisdom is the most important thing we can get. It's so important. When we place the right value on wisdom, it will benefit us in many ways in this life and the life to come. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6 through 13, it says, do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Her, let me just stop right there. I just said her is here. But let me go back to this beautiful little sentence here that maybe we can just glance over it really quickly. But it says, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. That is amazing. You don't have to get up and get it yourself. We try, we toil. And wisdom delivers it to you. Delivers it. I mean, that's nice. The world has it that we have to work hard. We have to toil, we have to sweat, and all for self-gain. But yet, if you have wisdom, a crown of glory, she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. In reading that group of verses there, you'll see the benefits of wisdom. First, you'll see that she will keep and preserve and protect you. Secondly, you'll see that she will give you understanding. Third, she will promote you. Fourth, she will bring you honor. Fifth, she will keep you in grace. And sixth, she will crown you with God's glory, His manifest presence. I think wisdom's becoming a little bit more attractive for all of us in this room. Seeking after that wisdom. I think too often we're always seeking after things in general when we go to our Father in heaven. What if every morning we woke up and we just said, Lord, I pray for wisdom. Our complicated prayers have been way too complicated. If we just stop and say, Lord, wisdom. And interesting, we even pray, like, Lord, protect our children. Give them a hedge of protection. In Jesus' name. How about we just start praying wisdom? Lord, give them wisdom. We just skip over it. We're kind of like, we're praying all the things listed that wisdom will actually bring. We've been praying way too long for too long now. Too long. We've been praying. I hear the longest prayers. Seems like all we have to do is just say, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 18 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You know, in this passage, it reveals those who value wisdom will receive happiness, length of days, honor, pleasantness, peace, life. Oh my gosh, right? It's interesting. We do so many things in vain. We try, we toil, our heartache, our pain. If we would just stop and say, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, for some of us, you'll say, Josh, just give me the four steps that I need. Right? The three-step plan. Well, I've got a four-step plan this morning. The four-step plan is four steps to applying the wisdom of God to our lives. All right? Now, first, we must reverence God's ways. You have got to know that His ways are far better than your ways. We see this in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. His ways are far better. They're higher than our ways. So we should always stop with selfish ambition and stop and say, Lord, your ways, your understanding exceeds my understanding. So Lord, I acknowledge your ways are better. Right? I want to turn from my wicked ways, my selfish ambition. I want to turn from these things that hinder me from your ways. So important. Second step, we must read and understand His word. In Psalm 119, 130, you can read, and all of 119, I love it. But you see that in this particular group of verses, you'll notice that when we read and understand His word, it's actually applied through experience. So to understand His word is to apply it, and as you apply it, you begin to understand it. And it's a really, I would say, awesome way to actually read God's word, because it's more alive. That's why it's bread. It gives us energy. We know that the food that we naturally eat gives us the energy that we need. So if we eat a bunch of cheese bites from Cookout, we become sluggish. Clearly, you don't know the fruit of this earth, which are cheese bites from Cookout. They are wonderful. But they do make you sluggish. Now, for us, when we eat the bread of life, which is the Word of God, which is John chapter 1, Jesus, then what you understand is that it gives you life. It gives you energy. It makes you understand, and you walk upright, and you're not sluggish. You're not defeated, but you're victorious because you know what God's word says about you. As you begin to, again, be wise, that you dream as if you will live and not die, then what happens is you go, wow, I see things in a different perspective. I understand his word. I understand the fruit of applying it. So then there's an experience of reading and understanding his word. And the same way, well, I'll get to that in a second. In James, in the third step is we must ask for the wisdom of God, which you'll see in James chapter 1, verse 5. We've got to ask for that wisdom. Yeah. Simply put, it's not complicated. It's just asking for his wisdom. Yeah. It's interesting that it's just laid out before us to ask. Yes. It's not complicated. We don't have to do spiritual exercises. You don't have to get God's attention. It's simply put, ask. Yes. And the fourth step says we must learn to trust him completely. In Isaiah 41:10, if you notice that this is where, again, going back to we must read and understand his word, if we learn to trust him completely, again, it's a process of experience. That you begin to trust him because you know how good he is, that he's holding you in his hand. He's watching over you. He's guiding you. He's protecting you. And this is beautiful because he puts his loving arms around you and he says, I've got you. And having that trust, you just begin to continue to increase and increase and increase. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. I know it always seems like pastors are a broken record. I am that broken record. I actually had a good pastor friend of mine say, hey, stop worrying about being a broken record. Well, I appreciate that. So I will be your broken record forever. But you have got to stop boasting about your envy and your evil ways, your selfish ambition. We go to our social media, newspaper, front page all the time. Oh me and oh my. If we would just step away from that behavior. If we would just go to the Father. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. That envy, self-ambition, the bitterness. It is earthly and unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Isn't that true? I tell people all the time, I said it last week and I'll say it again, broken record Josh here. Where the devil is, there's chaos. Where the devil is, it's craziness. It's chaotic. It's a sure sign. When there is disruptiveness inside of your own spirit, man, when you're sitting here and you're uneasy, it's not God. God is peace and loving. When you have an issue like this, it's time to spearhead it, hit it on directly, be open, honest, and direct, and go at it with the Word of God, with prayer. If you have a problem with an individual, you should go directly to that individual. You should go to them with wisdom. Seeking wisdom from our Father and saying, God, give me wisdom on how to talk to this individual, to meet with them. Lord, because I want this extinguished. I want it taken care of. I'm not going to allow the enemy to run amok in my life. I'm not a pig that wallers in the muck. Lord, I am a son and the daughter of the Lord Most High, and I am victorious. And so I then speak God's word over my situations. I begin to look at it and I go, oh, I don't want to live in confusion. So in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then what? Peace loving. Considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Be a peacemaker. If there is someone that is against you, love on them. Love on them. It's like burning, it's like pouring hot burning coals upon their heads. Love on them. It's not hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's easier said than done. And I've been bitten before. I've given people love and they still bite and they hurt. Even in your own love, and you're sitting here, I'm trying to be love and peacemaker right now, and they bite. Gosh, that didn't feel good. Why would you do that? Do you not know my heart right now? I'm being sincere. You go at them with love, and you may go at them a second time with love. But there is a time where you can do this, and that's okay. I can teach you about that on another Sunday. But you should definitely go as a peacemaker. You should go in there with love, with wisdom, on how to handle the circumstance or situation. Learning and growing as followers of Jesus is what will transform our old self to the redeemed person God is calling us to become. And that's what's most important. We don't treat sin with sin. That's no good. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, therefore, the old has passed away. The new has come. So we can walk in His mercies every day anew and fresh. His love expands every horizon, every bound that we thought had limits, it bounds past that. This is where we need to be more understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. Through His Word, through our experience, through trusting Him, His Word opens up those doors of revelation upon revelation where we don't operate from fear and anxiety. We don't operate out of hurt or bitterness, offense, but we are set free from these things. And it's not that our lives will be 100% perfect or problem-free. I understand this. But when we decide to walk in wisdom, our wise choices will actually prevent a lot of unnecessary hardship. And I think for many of us that have actually walked in God's wisdom can attest to this. And let's just be real. For some of us that have had that pinnacle, beautiful change on our timeline, where we know that when God intervened, and we've seen the rapid transformation of being a new creation in Christ Jesus, we can reflect on our old selves and go, wow, what a ton of unnecessary time. I was so foolish. I made so many decisions and I wasted so much money. I wasted time, precious time, on ignorant choices. This is a wake-up call. We need to be set free. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Simply put, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that you don't make this complicated. We make this complicated. God, I'm so thankful that inside each and every one of us, we have everything we need. Everything we need. And Lord, that you have laid out wisdom on the rooftops and on the street corners. They are in plain sight. And so, God, I thank you for this. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the capabilities to do what you have called us to do since the very beginning, since we've been in our mother's wombs. Lord, I'm so thankful for this. So God, All of us in this room this morning, we seek your face. We seek your wisdom. We seek your presence. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are opening up the floodgates of heaven. Lord, and you are awakening our mind, soul, and body, our spirit man, to your wisdom. Whatever hindrance is in our lives, God, we ask you to pluck it out right now in Jesus' name. Lord, reveal to us those unnecessary stinking thinking moments. God, reveal to us what we should be doing. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are doers of your word, set apart as instruments for noble purpose. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can simply ask for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Anna and I had gone to Brazil for a missions trip, it was interesting. Our translator, Levi, he said something to me that was really a powerful revelation to what I just prayed. And I started off with, Lord, I thank you that inside each and every one of us, we have exactly what we need. I think for some of us, with the earthly thinking of toiling, of I gotta get more, I got me, you actually have what you need. Levi, he could speak English just so perfectly. And he sounded like he was from America. Yet he was from Brazil. So he spoke Portuguese perfectly. And I remember sitting there asking, man, Levi, how did you do this? And he said, well, I came to the acknowledgement that I had everything in me to be able to speak English. I had a tongue. I had vocal cords. I have a brain. I have a mouth. I have eyes. I have ears. I have everything in me. So instead of walking around going, I'll never be able to speak another language. I can't do that. He knew that he had everything. That God equipped him with everything. You have been equipped with everything you need. Everything you need. Now it's just a matter of having his wisdom on knowing how to apply those things. Simply put, that scripture is so funny to me still. Get wisdom. First of all, do what with wisdom? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. It's the best thing we can do. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior, and you'd love to make him your Lord and personal Savior, it is the best decision you can ever make. We have a prayer room, my left, your right. It's back there in this corner. And we have altar care workers that are going to be back there. They're hanging out. They'd love to pray with you. They've got Bibles. They have all sorts of pieces of literature. It's all free just to help and guide you. And that room is always available to anyone all throughout the week. So if you have, or not through the week, yes, every Sunday, you have to call maybe because, you know, it's throughout the week, by the way. If you just stop in, we want to make sure we can help. Just don't be like, the prayer room's open. There's constant prayer workers here. Heather has a job. So does Terrence. They're not always in there, okay? But every Sunday, it is available to you. So I would encourage you, don't hesitate. If you just want to go in there and seek, you know, another believer for a confirmation of, hey, will you pray with me? Will you come in agreement with me over a circumstance? That room is open and available to you. So make that happen, okay? So please don't leave today without making Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior if you've never done it. It's the best thing you can do. All right, Pastor Adam.
All right, guys, just a few quick announcements before we leave. First announcement is in a couple of weeks, we are going to be offering our Deeper class. It is a class all dedicated to helping you understand what the Bible is, what the Bible's not, how to get the most out of your Bible reading. I know we live in a time and everything where everybody's trying to pick apart and they have a lot of misunderstandings of what the Bible actually is. And we're going to address that and also teach you how to get deeper and deeper into the Word of God. That takes place in 2 weeks. It's going to be at 11 o'clock. It's going to be at 11 o'clock upstairs, but sign up. Okay, you have to sign up. sign up to go, so that way we know to expect you. So go in the Trailhead app, or you can go stop by Next Steps, and we'll get you taken care of. The next announcement is our Thanksgiving basket outreach is coming up. Now, it wasn't in the announcements because we're still getting some details together, but you can find out more in the Trailhead app. So please go ahead if you want to go ahead and get ready. This is a great outreach to our community. You want to be a part of this. We have a lot of fun with it every year, and it's such a blessing to the people in our community for those who may not even have a Thanksgiving dinner without us. All right, and now the final announcement, and I have the privilege of being able to do this, and I want to ask Pastor Josh and Pastor Anna to come up. If you don't mind, come up here with me. As many of you all know, and we've been talking about for the last few weeks, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And words cannot express for me on a personal level about how much these two mean to me. And I know many of you have stories like that, and how much they mean to you. I remember about 16 years ago, I was driving home from church. You can come here. It's okay. It's the whole rain. Sorry. I was driving home from my church in West Virginia, and I remember Pastor Josh called me up and said, "Hey, God spoke to me. I'm going to start a church in North Carolina. I want you to come with me." And I just said, "Okay." I mean, and the reason why it was so easy for me was because I knew these two, and I knew these two hearts, and that they will not settle for anything short of God's best for themselves, for you, for this church. They are always pouring into your lives with prayer, pouring into the Word of God to make sure that they are teaching biblical truths and foundations. They are always standing. These two are the real deal. If you've ever had any sort of encounter with them, you know that they are legit. They are the real deal. And we want to bless them. We have, this is not the only blessing we have for you, but that is a pumpkin pie made by that man. Yes. And this is a Maxi B's cake made by someone, not us, because
This is going to sound very unappreciative. Very unappreciative. Every year, you guys always get her something sweet, and I'm always like, this is my favorite thing, is pie. So I'm like so excited. I'm very appreciative every year. But she always gets something sweet and I don't. So I'm just saying. Okay.
Well, this year the flowers are for you. Ironically. So but anyway, we just want to thank you both so much. From the bottom of our hearts, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Let's give it up for your pastors.
Thank you all.
Do you want to say something?
No, you can't.
Okay, let's give the Lord a greater shout of praise than ever before. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing at Trailhead Church. I don't know if you all knew this. Several years ago, Joshua...
You guys can sit down.
Oh, yeah, sit down for a second. Several years ago, in the beginning of our marriage, Josh was like, "Hey, why don't you learn how to make my mom's pies?" Josh's mom was like, seriously, a professional pie baker. And I was like, "That's too much pressure for me. How about you learn how to make your mom's pies? It'll be a wonderful mother-son bonding experience." And it was, and Joshua is the pie baker in our family, and he makes the best pies, homemade crust, everything. So that is his love language. Stephen, I don't know where you're at. You're in the back. Thank you for doing that for him. That's super kind. We love church.
Yeah.
And we love our church. And our greatest joy is that you also love the kingdom of God with all your heart, your soul, with all your strength. That you know this altar's open, that you know that prayer room's for you, that you know kids' church, your kids are being fed, that you know in the youth service, your teenagers are getting fed, that your small groups are there to come and circle around you, that the worship team is here, that the greeting team is there, that the ushers, that our outreach center, that the parking lot, that those who served you coffee, you are so well loved, that our staff is praying and is standing in their thinking of everything, that the prayer team is just ready, that the sound team and the media team, I know so many of you are thankful for everyone that's on a camera, that everyone that's cleaning this church throughout the week, for every single person that has a part to play in the body of Christ, because that's what the church is. Just receiving and sowing and receiving and sowing and receiving and sowing, and then gathering together to see the kingdom of God grow. And when God called us here 15 years ago, and He painted that picture in Joshua's heart of having this facility, it was for you. And we're just so thankful. So this morning I knew that they would be doing this, and I asked the Lord what He wanted me to share. And the Holy Spirit's so cool. He's so much smarter than we are. He told me to pray the prayer out of Ephesians 1. And I didn't even recognize that Joshua was going to be speaking on wisdom this morning. But the Ephesians 1 prayer is a prayer of spiritual wisdom. Isn't God cool?
Yeah.
So this morning, I would like to just pray this prayer over our church. And I'm going to plug us in, and it starts in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, Trailhead Church, in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, Trailhead, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you fill all in all, that we're your body and we have your wisdom. We receive it in Jesus' name, and we're so thankful for it. We love you, Lord.
Before you're dismissed, again, so thankful to be your pastors. We are so thankful and honored to be here for all of you. And at any moment, just know that all the pastors here on staff, you know, we're honoring them as well. We pray for you guys. There's a group text of all the pastors, and man, real quickly, you know, it could be 10, 11, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'll get a text from one of the pastors in the group. Pray for this family. Reach out to this family. Let's, you know, and those things come through. So there's a powerhouse within this house of individuals that are praying for you, that are wanting to help and see you succeed through God's word. And so at any time in life, don't ever feel like you're alone. That's what Satan wants. The enemy wants to isolate you. And that's a lie, and it's a big lie. So I'm here to tell you that you have a loving group of pastors that are on your side, and they want to see you succeed. So if you see them, say hi to them. Pastor Stephen, Pastor Katie, Pastor Christian, Pastor Philip, Pastor Dave, Pastor Adam. Love on them. They are wonderful, beautiful pastors. So guys, with that said, have a great Sunday. Thank you all.
Thank you for loving us.
Yes.
Thank you all so much.